Do whatever at that time.
We'll do it in post. I mean, we're doing it live. Whatever that. All right. So let's kick it off with the sound effect. This could be the real one.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast. We are here to podcast about anything and everything Star Wars with you. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabr.kylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kylejohansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcast. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us. And now, it's time to talk Star Wars. I am Kyle John Johansson.
Me.
This is Andrew Scott Sutton.
That's say not hello. Andrew. That's Rick on the screen. Again, this is the old intro because I don't have my tool. Today, we're coming live from Vegas. Yay. We're live. Recorded from Vegas.
Somebody's live from Vegas, but not all.
Just me. Yeah, I'm in Vegas because I've got a convention that I'm going to for work. For me, right? So today we're going to be reviewing Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3. 3, Episode 15. And it's called The Cavalry Has Arrived. So I have a tiny bit of news. Nothing major, so it's going to take a few seconds. And then we'll talk about the episode and do some feedback and predictions and, you know, cry about the show being over, whatever we're going to do. So I'm going to do the news thing first. Let's push this.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
What? That's not right.
Does your bald head take a beating from shaving?
It's time.
The news.
Oops. Think you've had one too many beverages.
It's time for the news.
I barely started drinking. There we go. So the news. So the news really is minor. Like I said, it's today is May the 4th. I've got my May the 4th Be With You shirt on. Celebrating. And also today, the Tales from the Empire dropped also. All the episodes. I think there's only 6 episodes. And I guess the plan is, I was actually hoping to have some time off, but the plan is to, next week we'll record 2 episodes of that, maybe 3, if we have time.
We might be able to... You might be able to, like, even do all of them in once. They're really short. I've already got through 3, started on the 4th one this morning.
They're, like, 20 minutes or something like that? Maybe.
15.
I didn't want to squeeze them all in too much in an episode. So maybe we'll do 3, and then do the other 3 the next time, and that'll give us 2 weeks off, basically, before the Acolyte starts.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a reminder, the Acolyte is like 400 or 500 years before anything we've ever seen, before the first prequel movie and everything. But The Phantom Menace, that's the first one, isn't it? Before all that. So it's way in the past, I'm sorry. And this is supposedly at a time where the Jedi are very powerful, but the Sith are starting to spring back. And, Star Wars mythology has always been that the Jedi and the Sith are always fighting for dominance. And we see that obviously in our regular movies. We see where Palpatine is trying to be the most dominant person in the galaxy, and our Jedi are trying to, a few Jedi that are left are trying to fix the wrongs that he did. So anyway, that's the news I had.
It's time for the news.
I'm in the news.
I don't want to give anything really away, but the episodes have been really good, actually, on that Tales of the Empire. Actually, I kind of wish that I'd watched it before, because it actually has given some insight on some things. So I'll just leave it at that.
I've heard it explains some things on certain people and whatever. Fill the gap for two.
It definitely looks like it's going to be a gap filler from what I've seen so far. So I'm kind of excited about, it's season one. You know, what are they going to do with the other season? So
I was going to ask you, the people walking by, did you happen to notice that at the end of this Bad Batch episode, there was more after the credits?
No.
It was like a 10 or so minute scene with Omega and Hunter, I think, at the end of after the credits. Not too far after the credits, but it came in later.
Well, okay, so I guess when we get to that point, I mean, there was a little interaction between him and her, but I thought that was like still part of the episode. So maybe, is there more than that?
Well, it was. So what, not to spoil it,
Talk about this. Yeah, we'll come back to it. But yeah, I mean, okay. Well, yeah, whatever.
let's just say Omega's a little bit older. That makes sense?
Yes, I didn't see that part.
Okay, good. Because we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
All right, so we did that. And we're going to do an unbox. Cool. Let's get back in here. So we're talking about the Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 15, The Calvary Has Arrived. We're going to go through the cast real quick. This one was actually longer than most of the episodes. It was longer by almost 30 extra minutes, basically.
Yeah, it's almost double.
It was a pretty good detailed episode, and because of that, it had three directors, ten of them. One, two, three. We had Stuart Lee, Saul Ruiz, and Brad Rowe, and those are the same directors that have been, doing different individual episodes all season. And then the actual showrunner, her name is Jennifer Corbett. She wrote the episode herself. She's the writer for this episode. And then, of course, every single episode has been edited by Matt Mitchovic. The musical score by Kevin Kenner, Sean Kenner, and Deanna Kenner. Then we had our cast. And that included Hunter, Wrecker, Batcher, Commander Scorch, several of the Clone X Troopers, Clone Prisoners, a Clone Trooper called Vic, Crosshair, were all played by D. Bradley Baker. He had quite a bit of action this time, because we had, there was probably 30 or 40, maybe more Clone Troopers that got released in this episode.
Yeah.
And, of course, Omega, Michelle Yang played her. Nala Say was in the episode, played by Gwendolyn Yeo. Unfortunately, she may not have survived. Dr. Scalder is played by Helen Sadler. Lieutenant Novich is played by Jeff Bohm. And he also played a medical assistant. So I think Lieutenant Novich is one of those other doctors, or not doctors, but that works up in the observation area.
Yeah, like a medical tech or something.
Right, and he played, Jeff Bohm also played a medical assistant and a stormtrooper number 3. We, of course, had our favorite villain, Dr. Royce Imlock, played by Jimmy Simpson. Emery Carr, who turned a new leaf today, played by Acacia Castle-Hughes. Stormtrooper number two was played by Matt M. Garcia. Rampart was in here for because he was in one of the cells, played by Noshir Dali. Stormtrooper number one was also played by him, Noshir Dali. And then we had then we had our specimens votes. SP32, who was actually named Jack, played by Ivan Simonson. We had SP39, who was actually named Sammy, played by Naya Singh Aldia. SP54 was actually Eva, played by Alan Wheel. Byron, which is the I believe the baby that was crying actually in this episode, played by Shelby Young. And Shelby also played Captain Bragg, which is the female officer that had the Imperial outfit on.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was the one that basically talked to Tarkin mm-hmm. about she gave the report and he told her to reallocate money. We've given the whole episode away already. and Shelby Young also played a nanny droid. Again, I mentioned Governor Tarkin. He was played by Steven Stanton, and Steven Stanton also played a stormtrooper. So, in the spirit of Vegas, where I'm at here, we're going to play a commercial for Juan's Cantina, because there's a Mexican restaurant here in the casino, so this will work.
We are proud to welcome our latest sponsor, Juan's Cantina, where every first week of the month on the Standard Galactic calendar, we celebrate what the ancients call Cinco de Mayo. Come join us at Juan's for the food, mariachi music, and 34 flavors of margaritas. That's Juan's Cantina right next to the Hangar 94 of Mos Eisley Spaceport. On day two of the week is Taco Tuesday. All tacos are half a credit each and enjoyed with our house margaritas. Juan's Cantina also serves the Galactic Flamus Dos Camarones Azul Cerveza, imported directly from Kessel. Thank you again for our latest sponsor, Juan's Cantina.
Por favor.
Hey, Scott, what's up?
Yeah.
Juan's is an affiliate of this.
Last text I got from you was you were having trouble. Then you didn't even tell me you were up and running.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
It doesn't matter. No fighting. We're all good. Hey, we're all good. Look, here I am in the casino.
Where the hell are you at now?
I'm at the casino. Here's the slot machines and everything over there.
In Vegas?
Yes.
It said from April 21st to May 4th.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
He's enjoying
your picture segment from Google said April 21st to May 4th.
He's just getting an early start on Cinco de Mayo.
That has nothing to do with that's when the pictures were taken. That's nothing to do with the date of the convention.
Oh, so he came out early or something?
No, I just took pictures early.
Hold
on. We'll have to cut this out, but I got a call from Amy.
So you brought Amy?
Yep. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. I guess, just a few.
What, hurry baby? Up. Hi, baby.
What's up, hi, Scott? Baby.
What's up?
Yeah, he already thought he might, but yeah.
Just kind of sitting outside, but it's a little cool. That rain cooled the temp down a little bit, man.
We got sprinkles this morning, but.
Oh, you guys didn't get anything this morning?
Yep.
Got a few little sprinkles, but other than that, nothing.
We probably got another half an inch.
You only wish.
Yeah. We've had probably close to 7 or 8 inches in the last
week. That's why I really wanted it, but he said it probably wouldn't work there.
Yeah. I got water standing in a flower pot.
That's,
right?
That's exactly where I wanted it. I just want to get rid of that hose. I don't know. I don't know where we're gonna put the hose and stuff, but I wanted to get rid of it anyway. So
my yard, I couldn't mow it until yesterday, and I had a 3-hour window to get in and get it mowed, get it taken care of. So crazy.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. Amy called. I told Rick Scott that I haven't told Scott yet, but I got a new truck. And it's the electric truck I told you about.
The Lightning?
Roku, what?
The Rivian?
Yes, the Rivian. And today they're installing the charging ports in my house. And they're gonna have to cut a hole in the wall, so she had to call me and ask me about it. I'm like, I already told you it was okay.
It's got to go to the pole.
No. It's going to the breaker box. It's just getting it to the garage is a problem.
Did you have to upgrade the breaker box?
Not exactly.
Not exactly, I mean.
Well, they can take breakers now and split them so there's two devices on each breaker. Because they have circuits now that you can put off 260-amp circuits on one actual breaker slot. So they're doing that for some of my items that don't take heavy loads. And then they're giving me, because it takes two actual breakers for this, like a dryer outlet. So it takes two breakers.
It's a 120.
What?
220.
It's a 120 outlet. No, that's what a dryer runs on.
No, it's a 210. Dryer runs on 210.
Okay, whatever.
Anyway.
It's that big ass.
So let's get back to the episode, Scott. You missed the good part where we talked about all the cats. So what we're about to do is actually get into the episode. And we're reviewing the Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 15, The Calgary Has Arrived. Episode originally aired on May 1st, May Day, was 54 minutes long. Much needed 54 minutes. And always it was took place during 18 of the Battle of before the Battle of Yavin, which is when the first Death Star blew up. And we got mention of the Death Star kind of today. If you read the article I sent you guys, you'll understand why. We'll talk about it here in a bit. So let's get started on the episode. So what that means is it's time to grab your favorite beverage and pull the chair and join us in the Rebel Alliance briefing room. Like I said, I'm at the bar here at the casino. All right, so our episode starts out. Several gunships depart Tana's base to patrol the jungles of Wayland, to find our bad batteries, basically. Meanwhile, Hunter, Wrecker, and Crosshair make their way through the jungle of Tana's, which lies 5 clicks away from where they're at, the Tana's base does. Inside the base, Dr. Royce Hemlock orders TK stormtroopers to guard the Tannis vault until lockdown is over. So forever. Until lockdown is over. Commander Storch informs Hemlock that one of the insurgents has been captured. As Hemlock heads away, some figures scurry through the corridor. I think that's when they captured Echo, I believe. At the detention block, Hemlock meets Edmund Rampart, who is still dressed as an Imperial captain. And Hemlock remarks that Rampart has aligned himself with the insurgents. Rampart quips and tells him about his security breach at the Tannis base that's supposed to be, you know, super secure and, you know, super secret and stuff. How did you get a security breach? Hemlock returns Rampart's goading and how he and tells him how he doesn't understand clone troopers, which Rampart never even tried to understand clone troopers. He was just there to do his job, and he didn't really want to interact with anybody. He explained how he has, Hemlock has anticipated the Clone Force 99's attempt to infiltrate the Tanis base. Basically, he knows they're coming, and he has a plan for them anyway. Because they're not going to stop until they get Omega, which his plan is to capture them and use them, as we see later in the episode, as the clone X troopers, basically.
Spoiler!
Yep. Rampart questions Omega's value to the Empire. Hemlock explains that he is working on a vital Imperial project that makes him indispensable, unlike Rampart. Oh, they're taking apart the... starting to open up the roulette tables. I don't know what I'm going to do, man. Maybe that's my game. I don't know. Hemlock explains the vital project in Rampart. And Rampart gazes at Malise, who is held in a cell next to him. Meanwhile, in the central lab, Dr. Emery Carr works with Echo. I guess maybe Echo wasn't captured. Oh, they captured Rampart. Warns Echo that they need to move due to the risk of him being discovered. Echo is still determined to find information about Omega. Carr explains that all the records are heavily encrypted and kept in a secret place guarded by the vault. When Carr offers to help him get inside, Echo asks, "Why are you helping me? You haven't helped us in the entire time. Now you're going to help? I think this is suspicious." Dun, dun, dun. Carr responds that she wants to make amends. He feels sorry for her brothers and stuff. What?
He just wants a free ride out.
That's probably true, too.
She wants a free
ride out. And I tell you what, you know, at the end of this episode, she cleans up pretty nice. But anyway, without the glasses and everything, man. Anyway, she's a cartoon. I can't say that stuff. Just say that. Damn, girl. You got a nice tan. Sorry. Distractions around here. Inside the Tanis vault, Omega briefs the prisoners, Jax, Eva, and Sammy, about their escape plan. The toddler Bayron plays with a toy while sitting on Sammy's lap. Seems weird that Sammy is babysitting Bayron, and they didn't know each other before Bayron got transferred in. Kind of weird, but Eva is skeptical of Omega, but Omega is very optimistic about her squad being here. Omega reassures her friends that she has been trained for this stuff. I've been trained for it all my life. And she tells them to get into their position. They're putting the plan into action right now. And Eva tells the medical droid that her game is not working. It's on the fritz. I tried to restart it. It didn't work. Like my laptop. I tried to restart it and it didn't work. Damn it. The droid says that, hey, I'm not programmed for that crap. What are you talking about? And while the droid is distracted, Omega has snuck behind the droid and stabs its processor with a screwdriver of some sort. Some sort of pointy, sharp device. Maybe she used my device to that I unboxed with my stabby tool.
That was a scene straight out of Psycho.
And it immobilized the droid temporarily. She, Eva, and Jack drag the droid away while Sammy cuddles with Byron. Dr. Skadler notices the droid is missing and heads down to the from the observation deck. Dun, dun, dun. What's going to happen? Inside her alcove, Omega begins reprogramming the droid. And she says something in there about she's done it before, but never with this model. I'm like, what is she, like a super hacker now all of a sudden? that is that what her Jedi abilities are, or her Force abilities are? Is figuring out how to reprogram a droid? I don't know.
Yeah, skills. She has certain skills.
Yeah, I have a certain set of skills. Skulder asks Sammy where the other inmates are. And Omega and Jack and Eva inmates reappear behind her with a medical droid. All of a sudden, that's boom, they're there. Eva claims that they were with the droid. Like, Sammy told you, we were with the droid. Skadler is suspicious about the unscheduled demand scans and demands to know what they're doing. When Omega backs up Eva Skadler, Eva and Skadler back to Carr for being, she laminates Dr. Carr for being too lenient on the inmates and orders them to return to their alcoves. He's going to punish you by putting you in her cell.
Johnson.
He intends to place them in solitary confinement as punishment. However, she is knocked unconscious by the medical droid who injects her with a sedative. Guess she did get it reprogrammed, huh? Omega orders the reprogrammed medical droid to guard the door to the vault so that nobody else comes in. He tells Sammy to prepare for a sling for Bayren, and the children climb through the dumbwaiter system behind Omega's cell. Meanwhile, Wrecker is slowing down due to his injury sustained from the fight with a Drax humanoid creature, but insists he can make it. But he got beat up pretty bad when he wrestled that thing. Yeah. That thing's very powerful, very strong, I guess.
Made a big gash across his armor.
He did. He was beat up pretty good, and he fought it for a good while there too in the last episode. So back on the Tannis base, Dr. Carr is disguised Echo enter the vault, passing through a row of clone commandos. They go through the red scanner system. Dr. Carr tells Echo that the Galactic Empire used bounty hunters to kidnap the children, seeking to harvest genetic material for certain medical testing. Carr says she did not learn about the children until recently when Nala Se was put in confinement and she took over the vault. When Echo asks about Omega, Carr explains that she is vital to Hemlock's Project Necromancy.
I'm Aggie.
Emperor Palpatine directly. Echo says he doesn't like the sound of that at all. That can't be a good thing. That's whatever Palpatine is involved in is bad.
Raven!
Omega leads the children through the dumbwaiter system, and Jax is concerned for Bayren, who is getting very restless and antsy. Bayren needs a nap. That's what it is. Omega climbs through the shaft, which leads to the large enclosure where the Zillow Beast clone known as Specimen A is being held. While she approaches the controls, Bayren begins crying loudly.
Ah, wah, wah, wah.
It arouses a medical assistant and some stormtroopers. Omega pulls the lever, which causes the water in the tank beneath it to drain for the strength of the Zillow Beast. Two stormtroopers find the shaft that Omega entered and discover the escapees, Sammy, Bayren, and Jax. Before the stormtroopers can detain the children, the Zillow Beast emerges from the tank and attacks the medical assistant station and basically crushes and stomps and eats and beats everybody up, right?
That eighth ends are awesome.
Yeah. That thing was pretty cool. The Zillow Beast. They tried the weapon and everything. Stormtroopers initiate containment protocols, which consist of the sonic generator, that radar telescope disc thing there. Your DirecTV disc is what's shooting power at them. And the creature, since the creature's loose, he just bats it aside, basically.
Like on Fat Girl?
Yeah. as the Zillow Beast goes on a rampage, Omega and the children escape back through the shaft. Inside the vault, Michael Carr and Echo discover an injured Stalder and begin escorting out, being escorted out by clone commandos and stormtroopers. Looks like they've discovered they're missing. Dr. Hemlock informs her that Omega and the specimen have escaped through the weak point in the wall. Hemlock vows to discipline Stalder. Just then, a tremor shakes the vault. Everything shakes. Scorch checks his gun. Hey, what's going on, man? What's up? And reports that the Zill Beast is loose in the containment level. Hemlock orders the base generator to be shut down.
Okay.
I don't know why, because that would keep the Zill Beast contained, right? What are we going to say, Scott?
Beast, that was it should have taken over everything. Didn't they make it?
All right, so I think we left off when the Zillow Beast was attacking everybody and climbing up into the hangar at the top of that long top column that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was gonna have the curtains behind me open. This is up the light. Right behind me is the Trump Tower. Cool. Trump Hotel Tower. I thought cool. Rick might appreciate that.
Oh. Cool.
Since I think Rick voted for him. But anyway, all right, so yeah, the Zill Beast climbed up.
And I didn't.
I don't know. I don't think you did. Yeah. He didn't.
Last two times.
Yeah, whatever. All right. I don't want to get into that. So outside the Tannis base, Crosshair finds that stormtroopers are patrolling the perimeter with Lorca hounds. Due to Wrecker's deteriorating condition, Crosshair tasks Hunter and Wrecker to head to the communications, and this is where they said, no, 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 we're a team. We're going to do it all together. And a former prisoner, Crosshair says that they are up against... He knows what they're up against inside the base. And Hunter and Wrecker are going to... He tells Hunter and Wrecker that Omega needs them both and not just one of them. So he insists they all go into the base together. And the hounds begin barking anxiously. The Zillow Beast emerges from the top of the facility and the Bad Batch decides... to take advantage of the chaos created by the Zillow Beast. Of course they are. Inside the wrecked containment facility, Omega and her fellow escapees approach the ladder attached to the generator, and Jax is afraid of heights. Oh, I'm afraid of heights. Me too, Jax. That's okay. You do things when you're trying to escape from stuff, right? You force it down or something or whatever you do. And he thinks that makes him a poor soldier. And Omega says, hey, my brother Wrecker, he's afraid of heights, but he's the strongest, best soldier I've ever known. And she tells him to focus on what's ahead and not what's down below. Omega leads the way and followed by Sammy, who is carrying Byron, and then Jax and Eva as well. Elsewhere, Scorch informs Hemlock that the Zillow Beast has fled into the jungle and is wiped out two divisions on his way. He says, hey, I need some reinforcements. And Hemlock orders that air support be dispatched to pursue the Zillow Beast. And Scorch warns that this will allow the rogue clones to infiltrate the Tannis base. Hemlock says he is anticipating that move and orders Scorch to implement his plan. Scorch orders a different section of the vault, which is hidden above... from a secure turbo lift. Top secret area. It's kind of weird. He opens several hibernation tanks containing numerous clone assassins. The clone ex-troopers, basically. Meanwhile, Carr and Echo enter the wrecked containment facility. They figure that Omega and her friends are climbing the shaft that leads to the science hangar. Exo Echo asks if she knows a shortcut. Got a shortcut? Here's a shortcut. Shortcut? Where's the shortcut? Elsewhere, the Bad Batch encounters several armed clone assassins and TK stormtroopers. Those clone assassin troopers are badass troopers, aren't they? They're strong. Remember seeing them? They're like better than the Bad Batch almost, right?
The ones in black.
Yeah. And they got the weird blades and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're in the hangar with burning wreckage and debris. Outnumbered and outgunned, Crosshair convinces his clone brothers that they need to fall back. During the gun battle, Crosshair manages to shoot an Imperial pilot, causing his vehicle to wreck. Hunter is trapped beneath the loose wreckage, and Wrecker and Hunter are ambushed by two of the clone assassins. Crosshair tries to reach his gun, but is held down by a CX-2 trooper. And he says something about he should be a little more careful with his shooting hand as he lowers the vibroblade and basically chops it off. We'll see later that he doesn't have a hand. Missing his hand. Can't shake no more. It's missing. Elsewhere, Omega and her fellow escapees reach the top of the shaft, which leads to the hangar. Meanwhile, Echo and Dr. Carr see the clone assassins carting away the captured members of the Bad Batch on hover sleds through the corridor. Echo asks where they're being taken, and Dr. Carr says she doesn't know, but says it is somewhere well guarded. Echo says he is not worried about that, but says he needs to find the children first. Carr says they are in the science hangar, and three stormtroopers corner Omega, Jax, Eva, Sam, and Byron. Before they can be detained, the children, Echo, who is disguised as a stormtrooper, shoots his colleagues, stormtroopers. Echo is delighted to be reunited with Omega and is proud of her and the other children who escaped from their cell. Dr. Carr tells them that the shuttles in Bay 4 are all still operational. When Eva asks if Carr is helping them, Carr confirms that is the case, but says they must hurry. Hurry or you're going to get captured again. When they reach the shuttle, Omega asks, where is Hunter, Crosshair, and Wrecker? Echo reveals they've been captured. He said something about detained, but captured, same thing. Echo tasks Carr with flying the children to a set of coordinates. He gives her a little card with some coordinates on it. Omega tells her friends that she will be staying behind with Echo to help free other prisoners, including her brothers. Omega reassures them that that Emery is taking them somewhere safe. Carr also gives her data pad to Omega and Echo, explaining that it will help them access the facility. And Carr promises Omega that she will look after the other children and tells Omega to be careful. How do we trust her to look after children now when she's held them captive for so long? That's just not right. Okay, so as they head back to the base, Echo and asks Omega if she's ready. Meanwhile, Dr. Hemlock subjects Hunter to electroshock torture. See him going... It reminds him of the death of Tech, and Crosshair is fastened to an operating table. Hemlock explains that Crosshair had resisted his conditions in the past, but says he has made alterations to the methods. Evil operations. Hemlock reveals that he planned to reprogram them to be clone assassins anyway, if they survive the actual procedure. A defiant Hunter tells Hemlock that they will survive, but he won't. Not you, buddy. No. We're going to kill you. As the operation on Hunter commences, the Imperial officer informs Hemlock that he has received a transmission from Governor William Tarkin. Entering the detention block, Echo and Omega take out the stormtrooper sentries in a gunfight. Omega uses the datapad to free all the prisoners, including clone troopers, Nala Se, and Rampart. Uh-oh, Rampart's on the loose. we find out that guy's not trustworthy. She hands the prisoners some guns that she's collected on her way. She tells them to gather every gun as possible, and because they're going to need them. Omega is delighted to see Nalase, and they hug, and oh, Nalase is like weird talking and stuff, whatever. While Echo is speaking to the clones, Omega informs him that the Bad Batch are not in the detention block. One of the clones informs Echo and Omega that Hemlock has probably taken the Bad Batch to the training rooms for reconditioning. Electroshock therapy is more like it, right? Omega says she knows where the training room is. I've been there, right? I don't know, maybe. When Rampart proposes escaping, Echo counters that the clones do not leave their brothers behind. We stick together. We're bound closer than what? That's the Marine Corps, right? Echo gives a rousing speech about it and urges the clones to help with the fight to free their friends. The other clones eagerly volunteer one last fight. And Echo tasks two clones with evacuating wounded prisoners while he triggers an alert in a different wing to divide the forces. Echo tasks the clones with getting weapons, and Nalase tells Omega about her plan to destroy the data in her lab in order to prevent the research from falling in the wrong hands. Wrong hands. When Omega offers to accompany her in the lab, Nalase tells her that her place is with her clone brothers, because she plans on killing herself probably, huh?
Yep.
Rampart separates himself from the main clones. Meanwhile, Tarkin has a conversation with Hemlock in a holo projector, and Tarkin says that the Empire is concerned about the Zillo Beast escape and fighting on Tanis base. Hemlock claims that the situation is under control, but Tarkin is skeptical and says he will travel there to see for himself. I will come visit you and kill you. Wake up.
I'm awake.
Okay. Making their way to the training room, Echo and Omega liberate the clone. Okay, I said that already.
Gotta make sure everybody.
So he has the conversation. Hemlock claims that everything's under control, but says he's traveling to Wayland anyway. Making their way to the training room, Echo and Omega and the liberated clones gun down stormtroopers. Accessing a computer, Echo asks Omega if she can use the pneumatic tube system to spy on the training room. She climbs into the overhead shaft, and Echo instructs Omega to relay what she sees. She heads for the former laboratory. Nalase obtains a detonator from a fallen stormtrooper, and she is tailed by Rampart, who takes a blaster from a fallen soldier. Entering the lab, Nalase installs her datapad, which activates the laboratory. She then consults the computer and is suddenly confronted by Rampart. Where'd he come from? That sneaky little guy. He wants to know what the research is all about and why it's such value to the Emperor. At gunpoint, he demands to know what Project Necromancer is, and Nalase secretly activates her detonator. It starts going beep, 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 beep. Using the pneumatic system, Omega tells Echo via comlink that Hunter, Wrecker, and Crosshair are indeed in the training room. She spots one guard, and Omega says that she can free them if they create a great big distraction. Echo and the liberated clones enter the part of the vault where the clone assassins have been kept. The clone assassins engage them in battle, shooting several during the gun battle. Omega infiltrates the training room and accesses the computer, which she uses to free her brothers. One of the liberated clones is impaled through the chest by a vibroblade welding clone assassin. Wrecker begins to stir, and Omega is spotted by a sentry. She tries to shoot the sentry with her blaster, but his armor just deflects the blast, and he doesn't do anything. The clone assassins capture her. Dr. Hemlock and CX-2 enter the room. Hemlock compliments Omega for proving his observation about the clones' loyalties to one another. He then unleashes a gas into the clone X-Vault, which incapacitates several of the liberated clones. Back in the lab, Rampart reveals his plan to use the secrets of Project Necromancer as a bargaining chip to regain favor with the Empire. He's trying to get back in. Malice counters that the research does not belong to him nor the Empire. Rampart states that it is no longer hers, and blasts her. She drops the activated detonator, which lands on Rampart's feet, causing him to mutter, what the hell? In surprise, before the explosion kills and destroys the databanks, she makes her research die along with her. Da, da, da. Almost done. Inside the assassin vault, Echo is wounded in the back with a vibroblade. He is captured by the blade-wielding clone assassin. Inside the training room, Hemlock is confined, confident of his victory over the rogue clones. However, Scorch brings bad news that the central lab has been destroyed. No! Omega counters that Hemlock has failed with the loss of his data. When Hemlock counters that he still has her, she counters that she still has her brothers. Wrecker breaks free of his restraints and kicks a large chunk of the machine holding him down, knocking down several operatives. Scorch and Hemlock also. The chunks of the machine slam into the computer terminal and severely damages it, causing the gas in the clone assault vault to disperse. Wrecker, Crosshair, and Hunter begin to stir while Echo and his comrades revive. Hemlock orders the CX-2 trooper and their assassins to hold back the Bad Batch while he escapes with Omega. Wrecker tells Hunter to rescue Omega before charging the clone assassin. Pushing him through the glass of the vault below, this gives Echo a distraction with Wrecker. He kills two of the clone operatives and Hunter retrieves an electro staff and impales CX-2 into the machine. Basically electrocutes him to death because it's a generator. Despite his injuries, Crosshair accompanies Hunter to rescue Omega. Reaching the top of Tanis Base, Hemlock and Scorch force Omega to accompany them on a long bridge towards the hangar. Echo wrestles with a vibroblade wielding clone assassins, who is killed by Wrecker. The last operative is then killed by Vic. Echo then attends to the wounds of Wrecker and asks, where is Omega? Hemlock uses his wrist thing to summon a starship. He says, beep, 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 beep. Starship, come get me. Causing it to this starship, which emerges in the rainy skies. But before it can land, the Hunter and Crosshair damage the starship's engines, causing it to crash in the jungle. Uh-oh. What's he going to do now? They also shoot Scorch in the chest, causing him to fall over the bridge. Uh-oh. It's only Hemlock left. Hemlock holds Omega at gunpoint, intending to use her as a hostage. But Omega taunts Hemlock, saying that he won't hurt her because he needs her alive. He does, or his research won't work. Nope. Hunter gestures to Crosshair, who aims his gun. Moving close to the edge of the bridge, Hemlock threatens to jump over with Omega. Hunter tells Crosshair to shoot Omega's magnetic binders. Crosshair initially refuses. And then, because of the loss of his shooting hand, it worries him and he might shoot Omega. Hunter notices Omega pulling a slim surgical tool from her sleeve and tells Crosshair to make the shot after Omega makes her move. And she does, ramming her tool into Hemlock's arm. And he goes, ow, that hurts. Crosshair and Hunter shoot the binders, freeing Omega. They then shoot Hemlock several times, causing him to fall over the bridge. Hunter and Crosshair bend their knees, allowing Omega to embrace them. They then head downstairs towards the escape row-class transport shuttle that they liberated with Echo. The group then flees into hyperspace before Tarkin arrives with his personal starships and destroyers, flanked by two Ventress-class Star Destroyers. Very ominous ships over the mountains and everything. We know everybody's in trouble. As Tarkin's Star Destroyers hover over the planet, Tarkin leads a detachment of forces, including Imperial shock troopers, to the wreckage of Tanis Base. Captain Bragg informs Tarkin that the base has suffered heavy damage and Hemlock and the numerous troopers have perished in the attack. He asks her if any of the project data was recovered, and she tells him that the databanks were completely destroyed in the attack, declaring Hemlock failure a significant setback and a waste of time for the Empire. Tarkin orders the facility shuttered and the remaining funds and assets to be reallocated to Project Stardust, which I sent you that link for that. Project Stardust is the Death Star project. So they're sending all the funds and everything to finish the Death Star that we all know about in Rogue One and everything. Here at the last part, the liberated children and clones are adapting to life on Pabu Island, mingling with former clones and cadets. Kar is pleased by the children, that the children are happy. She and Echo discuss their newfound freedom. Echo tells Kar that he plans to resettle some of the clones on Pantora with help of Senator Chuchi. Echo invites Kar to help, which she gracefully accepts. While sitting between Batcher and Hunter, Omega tells them that with the death of Hemlock and his research destroyed, they are all finally safe. Yay! And this is the, you know, nice Disney ending here going on. We watch Sammy and Byron playing and lining up for ice cream with the clones. Eva, Omega asks how long it will take to reunite the children with their families, and Hunter replies that Rex and he are working on it, and the children will be looked after until then. Hunter and Echo look at each other before departing. When Omega asks about whether the clones will remain on Pabu, Hunter replies that all of them are free to choose their own path. They can do whatever they want. Crosshair and Wrecker join in the group as they sit under a weeping Maya tree. And we actually see credits rolling. But suddenly, there's another section, the epilogue. And we see Omega years later walking into a Pabu Cove where the Bad Batch have stored the shuttle. And Gonki is walking down the plank to the surface, and Batcher is also around, you know, making noise. And suddenly Hunter confronts her and says, hey, are you trying to sneak out? Omega tells Hunter that she has decided to join the rebellion as a pilot because they need lots of pilots. Hunter says that they wanted to keep her safe but respects her wishes. While watching the moon, Omega tells Hunter that he and his brothers have fought enough and she is ready to be on her own. Hunter says he is not ready, but hugs her before she leaves. And they're probably crying. Ooh, hoo, hoo. Omega gives Hunter to promise to look after Crosshair, Wrecker, and Batcher. Before she departs on the shuttle, Hunter tells Omega that they will be there if she needs them. Just call. Hey, give me a call. And I don't know if you noticed, but Hunter looks pretty old. Omega departs aboard the shuttle with Gonki. Hunter salutes before she leaves, and Batcher is sad. But Hunter reassures the Hound that Omega will be fine as Omega flies into the night and her ship glitters off in the sky. And then we finally get the final credits. The show is over.
She's probably in her 20s.
Yeah, she looked like she was at least late teens, early 20s, right? She looked pretty hot. Oh, I mean, she looked good. Okay. So that's the entire episode. It was longer, like I said.
That's the end.
Because of the end, right? Yeah. I'm gonna do the feedback stuff real quick. Feedback. That's right. We need your feedback. We want to know what you think about the final episode of the final season of The Bad Batch. Find us at feedback@kylesrahanson.us. You can also go to our website, and on the right-hand side is a link that says feedback. And you click it, and it pulls up a form that you can fill out, and it'll come directly to us. We're also on Twitter/X, @super_duper_pod. We're on the Blue Sky Network as well, @Rebel Alliance Briefing Room. And we're on YouTube, since now both our audio and video are uploaded there automatically. So leave some comments with the videos and audios. We did get a couple likes this week. I think we're up to 20 people have listened to our episodes and stuff this week. So for last week, I mean, so we're doing pretty good. I'm going to leave a bunch of stickers at the convention here so people maybe will find them and join. We'll see. But, what did you think about it, Scott? Was that a pretty good episode? It was pretty long, but it was pretty good.
Good way to end it. But we never know. Well, we never know if we ever saw her, the Rebellion.
No, we don't. Likely she...
She probably got
killed or something too. We don't know.
We don't know what. I mean, what lineage she'd go under? You know.
Yeah, we don't know. Leaves it open, so maybe there'll be an Omega show in the future. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, it wraps it up. Like I said, you can see Hunter look pretty old, so. You can imagine Crosshair, because Crosshair seemed like he was older than all of them, but
yeah.
Who knows?
And Wrecker was, you know,
it's crazy.
He going to need a walker?
Yeah, he's been in too many fights, so probably. But so that's that, and I look forward to. We're going to do the Tales of the Empire stuff next week. And we might do three episodes of that.
It's like the other ones. It's like the Jedi ones are short.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty short. Well, at least Rick says he's already seen three of them. Watched three of them. Because they dropped today.
Well, May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, all six of them dropped today. So I expect we do three next week and then three the week after that.
Movie drop.
No, the series, the whole series.
How about the movie? When's the next movie drop?
Well, that's next year sometime. Maybe 2026 too.
It's going to be a while. We ain't going to have no... Grogu, whatever.
Well, I think there's going to be another season of The Mandalorian. So, it's just the movie is supposed to wrap up all this, all these series. You know, The Mandalorian. The I think it's supposed to wrap up Ahsoka too, and Boba Fett. All of them are supposed to be wrapped up from the movie. So
that'd be good because you always sit there and wonder, you know, don't you?
Well, there's always going to be something they're going to leave. They're like, oh, yeah, this is going to happen. We didn't want to tell you about it.
Yeah, but how do you, you know, it's hard for new people, you know, then they have to go back and stuff. Go on, girls. Go.
All right. Everybody, so I'm going to run the outro.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast.
Please visit our
website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://// rabr.kylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kylejohansson.
That'll get you to our website. Scan the barcode.
On the left hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn.
So the ones I gave you guys a couple weeks ago.
Podcast on your Android or Apple phone.
On the back of my phone, so they ain't scanning.
Podcast.
Please participate by connecting to our social.
Did that last week too, and then I questions watched it back and put my phone up there and from the site. I've scanned
again,
it.
Again, all of these available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms LTD, Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers.
My bag's sent up
views
here.
And opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms, LTD, Disney, Disney Plus, or any subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or any or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited. I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton.
Yes.
Say goodbye now.
Say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.